Amen. The greatest testimony any human being can give on earth, which is the reason why Jesus Christ went to the cross on Calvary. The greatest testimony is not from nothing you became a billionaire. There are wonderful testimonies. It's more than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The greatest testimony is blessed assurance. Jesus is my. Oh, what a fountain of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His glory. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Several times that there are men of God you continue to refer to as powerful men of God, because when they move, you touch their shoe, you will fall under anointing. When they say take it, you must take something and fall down. We don't know what you are taking, but you must take something. Hallelujah. So anointed until they don't even use their mouth to cast out devils. They use their hand. Some even use their leg. Powerful. And everybody is looking at them that they are powerful men of God. Amen. I have told you this several times and I will continue to say it, so that you will not be misled. Oh, bride of Christ. Ask your neighbor, are you one of us? There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fails on Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. In this morning now within my heart, oh glory to you. Oh! I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah! I'm one of them. I am one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. I am one of them. That's the song for the bride. You can't be one of them if you have not received the Holy Ghost. You can't be one of them. Can't be one of us. I mean, one of us. Because me, I am going. I don't know who else. So. This heaven, I go go. This heaven, I must go. How many people can say that? This whole world can never hold me. Any moment, I'll be gone. How many people can say that? For I've made my consecration. And one of the wedding garments that we put on is the revelation. Revelational truth for this hour. That is what prepares you for the rapture. Hallelujah. So that we can also, where we have been picking our text from, 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1, where Apostle Paul says, of the times and seasons, you have no need that I write unto you, because the bride of Jesus Christ, they are established. When some time ago, people were talking about the blood moon. How many of you remember that? It was in the news all over. The eclipse. When the moon comes between the sun and the earth. And the reflection it gives during that eclipse is turning the moon to the very, very blood color. So it is called the blood moon. And mighty preachers. So there are two categories of men of God. One, there are those men you call powerful men of God. And as I was saying, the only powerful man of God, any man that you will identify as a powerful man of God, is not the anointing for miracles, signs and wonders. We thank God for it. But the greatest power that exists on earth is the power that can transform an arm robber to a pastor. That can transform a prostitute to a daughter of Zion. The power that when you stand and minister, a sinner will repent. That is the highest power, greatest power on earth today. Unfortunately, that power is rare to find in this age. And people don't know it. Show me anywhere you see altar call, I see people crying again. Hallelujah. No, that's the truth. Because all the minister to the people are things that gratify the flesh. Nothing touches the soul. That is one category of people that are celebrated. Powerful man of God. And they are determined by the crowd that follow them. Amen. Hallelujah. The second group of people are those who pride themselves as escapologists. Yes. You saw how one grammarian at Oregu Krisokote Hallelujah. He wrote one book some time ago. What did he call that book again? It was about the Antichrist, but there was a name he gave it. Who remember the title of that book? The what? There's a name he gave that book now. The Last Outcast. God bless you. That's the name. He titled it The Last Outcast. And before the classroom examination hall of the Holy Ghost, he fell minus zero. In identifying the Antichrist. Nothing has no bearing with what the Antichrist is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Nothing like that. While they are busy looking at the blood moon, the bride, there's something else we're looking at. And see confusion. Gentile preachers, they are getting bothered about Israel getting converted. And they are saying all manner of things, taking revival there. They do this, they do that. Israel is now waking up. They are receiving Christ. Wait! There is a divine agenda. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There is a way you feel so much for them until you want to go. William Branham had that same kind of feeling. Because he met a Jewish rabbi somewhere in America. And when he saw him preaching that there is nothing like Trinity, it's one God, then he saw him again with a messianic sign in discernment and an unusual anointing around him. The Jewish rabbi then told him, he said, if you go with this sign to Israel, they will believe. He said they will believe. Praise the Lord. Now listen very well. So concentrate here. Praise the Lord. So he felt he should go. He took a flight all the way from America and landed in Egypt. His last flight now, connecting flight from Egypt. As they made the announcement for that flight, he was going to board the flight when the Holy Ghost spoke to him. Come down. Come back. Come back. Go back home. It is not yet their time. Praise the Lord. It's not a Gentile that will go there to open their eyes. It has to be a Jew. So now they type the blood moon. The blood moon. To be saying that when it happens maybe once in a century or something like that. When it happens, something monumental always takes place in Israel. And within between this year and next year, it is expected to happen four times, which has never happened before. So they believe that as it is happening now, it means Israel will soon be having her Messiah. Church, the Bible did not tell us to look at blood moon. And to start with, you, the Gentile, when Apostle Peter made this statement, when he said, be diligent to make your calling and election sure, he is telling you to first concentrate and make sure you are saved before you think of another person. For now, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is an agenda that God is following. The bride of Jesus Christ is watching those fulfillments. I want to try to conclude this, and I will rush it. I won't go into details. I'll just tell you this happens this time, this happened this time, this happened this time. And I'll give you scriptures so that we can close this matter and enter our Holy Ghost from next week. Praise the Lord. This night I want to round that up. I'll just tell you step by step. After this, this should happen. After this, this should happen. After this should happen. From now until we enter eternity. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, please, we have been taking this for more than three Sundays or so now. About four Sundays. Try and get the tape and listen to all we have been saying. God, concerning salvation, it is God's own business. It is God's own business. I was counseling a sister yesterday who got so worried by virtue of the abundant revelation she's having, and then people are telling her that she's not working enough for God. She's not doing what she's not working enough for God, and she's getting very, very worried over it. What else will I do? What else? And she's really disturbed. I said, sister, sit down. Take it easy. Nobody can help God. Do you understand? Nobody can help God. Hallelujah. All you want to do is you just position yourself and say, here am I, use me. That's all. And nobody can resist God when God wants to use you. Do you get what I'm saying? You cannot help God, neither can you resist to use him. Go and find out from Jonah. Amen. And don't think that you are doing God a favor by worshiping him. He said, if you refuse to worship him, God is more than able to raise stones. Stones will worship him. So don't think that he's looking for people to worship. He has billions of angels that he created to be worshiping him only. So whether you serve him or not, he has angels that will worship him. Amen. So don't let people who see revelation and they don't know the interpretation to scare you. Oh, you are not doing enough for God. When you know you are trying your best. Now, because salvation is God's own agenda. And in fulfilling this agenda, it's so interesting. You have to follow it very carefully. You know, if you follow it, I'm telling you, you study how God works. Every day you will see how mysterious he is. There are so many questions that God has to answer the day we go see him. Maybe that's why they hide himself. You know, let us see him. Because I know some of you here, from morning till night, will never ask and finish. I deserve you. Up till now, no husband come. See that prostitute there, where they jump from so. Go from here. If they change husband like water, me where they serve you, oh yeah, tell me why. No. If you see, would you ask him that? When I stayed for so long, 20 years, up to 20 years before I got a child, but within that period, every time I go sit down, I go say, God, you know why you not let me see you? After the day I see you, what do you see for the hand of Jacob that day will be small. I will hold you till you answer me. Amen. He's so mysterious. Until Apostle Paul, in trying to make us understand him, he said he uses foolish things to confound the wise. You see? Foolish things he will use to confound the wise. And watch all men that God has used monumentally. You watch. 90% of all of them were uneducated. Uneducated. That's why when you come to this church, I have told you before, in the denomination they told you that you have to go to a Bible college before you can be a minister. That is their own condition, not the condition of the scriptures. God is not a grammarian. So he doesn't need your grammar before he can use you. So where is Bible school? Praise the Lord. I don't go to Bible school. But I'm teaching doctors of divinity the simple rudiments for salvation. They can't know. Ordinary water baptism, they can't catch it. Praise the Lord. So, we saw through this study that there is nothing happening that took him by surprise. We now understood why we see in the Bible that Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. Why also it said we are predestined, hallelujah, before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says so. Amen. That is, you are not, that there is a book of life with names of people that he will save. Those names were written down before the people fell.
Before Adam and Eve fell, out of the 6 billion people that will populate the earth, from those two people, he already knew who will be saved and who will not be saved. That's why we say, you cannot be saved today and tomorrow lose your salvation. Once you are saved, forever you are saved. That's the mystery. Because he's not saving by gamble. And the problem is sometimes you think you are saved when you are not saved. And that's why it is necessary to be sure that you make your calling and election sure. Because many are called, but few are chosen. Praise God. There is a divine agenda. And the purpose of this study is to let you know how short the time remains for us to go. We got that key as we reach Daniel chapter 9. Can we read it now? I told you I am going to rush it. Praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 9. From verse 24. This is where we are making reference. 70 weeks, okay. Some people may be hearing it for the first time. We know that they were in captivity in Babylon according to the prophecies that Jeremiah gave in Jeremiah chapter 25. And shortly after that prophecy, Nebuchadnezzar, according to the prophecy, came, gathered them, and destroyed the temple, destroyed everything. Took some of them, killed some of them, took some of them into slavery. And the prophecy said they would stay for 70 years. And they were in that captivity when, verse 2, Daniel chapter 9, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And like we spoke in earlier parts of this message, amen. Okay, so Daniel suddenly realized that this captivity that we are in is not forever. It's supposed to be 70 years. Then he took the books and began to study. And before you know what, he discovered that out of the 70 years, they had spent 68 years, remaining 2 years. And I've said it that Daniel is a type of the bride of Jesus Christ. The gospel left Israel and came to the Gentiles. It will not last forever. It will go back to them. How long will it remain with us? Nobody has bothered to study that. Every day, he's coming soon, until scoffers, 2 Peter chapter 3, began to say, where is the promise of his coming? Since our fathers went before, since those days of apostles, he's coming soon. Amen. But suddenly, a group of people now wake up. They got a message and trace, like Daniel, to discover that through the coming of the Lord, for us to go in the rapture, is remaining very few years. Like Daniel in Babylon. So Daniel began to pray. And while he was confessing the sins of his people, and while he was praying, can we read it now? Verse 20. Daniel chapter 9. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, that is an angel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, "Oh, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." And let me tell you, this skill and understanding was not given to the whole of Israel. He came specifically only to Daniel. And it was an angel that brought the skill and understanding. take note. It was an angel, take note, that brought the skill and understanding. You know why I'm stressing angel? You know, see, when we are talking, the bride will just understand what we are saying. Because we are in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Revelation chapter 10 verse 7. When he shall begin to sound, begin to give his message, the mystery should be finished. The mystery of God should be finished. Verse 23. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, oh, thou art greatly beloved. Say, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. So we are going to understand it now and consider it. 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. 6 things to be accomplished within 70 weeks. And these 70 weeks, we saw it is 70 weeks of years. 1 week is 7 years. 70 weeks therefore will be 70 times 7 is prophetic language. 490 years. God had a program that will last 490 years to accomplish those 6 things which closes with the anointing of the Most Holy. And it will take place within 490 years, otherwise known as take place within 70 weeks. Then the time now, when the 70 weeks will start, when the 490 years will start. Know therefore, I understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 3 score and 2 weeks. Hallelujah. That is how many weeks? That's how many years? 483 years. Praise the Lord. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 3 score and 2 weeks, that is, remember the first one is seven weeks, which is how many years? 49 years, 7 times 7, then plus another 62 weeks, which gives it 69 weeks. The first stage of it is 7 years, then after 7 years, count again another 62 weeks, which is 434 years. 7 times 62. Praise the Lord. And after 3 score and 2 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. That cut off there, that means out of the 70 weeks, when 69 weeks is complete, the Messiah will be cut off. And he was cut off in AD 33. Praise the Lord. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the world desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the commandment was given to Nehemiah by King Artaxerxes in Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 5. Exactly as the prophet prophesied, and we have spoken at length on that. But I want you, where we have reached and we have been emphasizing, that is the one that concerns us so much, is that according to the timetable, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When it came to 69th week, you either listen or you carry your Bible and write, but I prefer you listen. You can get the tape and then sit down, listen carefully, and go through the scriptures, because there's no time to read the scriptures here, but I will give you the scriptures. Between the 69th week, after the 69th week, they rejected Jesus Christ. He was caught up. And according to calculation, it's exactly 445 BC. That is when the commandment was given. Calculate it up to AD 33. Taking into consideration, like I said the other day, in your calculation, always know that AD, the calculation of time from AD, we always say it's after the death of Christ. It is not the death of Christ, it's actually the death of Herod. AD is after the death of Herod. And so that's why Christ was killed AD 33. Not, if you say after the death of Christ, then how do you get AD 33 again? So 33 years after he died, now he died. Amen. So you have to, there is a little gap there. Some the historians try to place it like that. But whatever it is, try to calculate it, and you have to believe us. We will not stand and tell you any lies, because it is the picture we want you to catch and not the mathematical precision. But even if you take time to go into the mathematical precision, you will discover exactly, it was exactly 483 years from 445 BC when that commandment was given. It happened exactly as the angel told Daniel. Praise the Lord.